subject of the traducing theory of the soul's origin since creation. There's no problem if you believe the scriptures of the origin of the soul and spirit in Adam and Eve. They were by immediate creation of God. By the in-breathed spirit in Adam and God giving life to the woman that he formed out of the rib of Adam. We won't go into it in this class except to in the subject of abortion. I want to say one or two words about that at the close of this section. It is an interesting study and an interesting thought as to why God didn't use mud to make Eve or the dust of the earth. Why he took a living genetic bone out of Adam with a DNA tape to make a wife. We know from genetics that he did not take any of the Y chromosomes. If he did, he destroyed them. And only put the two X chromosomes, sex X chromosomes, to match the 22 regular chromosomes in pairs. But every male has the two Y. Or the XY chromosome, which gives the male characteristics and always determines the male infant. Whereas if only the X chromosome in conjugation is transmitted to the ovum, it is the female infant. But the very taking of some of the life of Adam, the genetic code, the living cells in the bone marrow from Adam to construct a woman. We have the union of the two. You also have the human nature in Eve as well as in Adam. And you have the beginning of the formation of a race, each related to Adam and Eve by a direct molecular union, as well as this strange creation of the soul. Now, when we say soul, we're using it in the Old Testament sense, soul and spirit. The whole immaterial or spiritual part of man. We left off with some proofs of traditionism. We were considering some objections. One objection we didn't get to, they say it's too mysterious. But nothing is quite so mysterious as natural generation. Every book on genetics, and I've just finished reading a textbook on genetics used at Yale University, and he tries to prove his evolution and he stumbles all over himself. The thing that I noticed so graphically in reading through the book is he is forced, while defending evolution on every page and trying to prove it, he's also forced to use teleological language, purposive language, design, pattern, purpose. And especially when he comes to this subject we're in right now, in the genetic code and the development of the embryo, he admits mystery, and one of the things we will quote from another writer on genetics, a German writer. He is forced to acknowledge that there must be some controlling, designing thing. He won't say God. He won't give personality. He's almost like Carl Jung with his Elan Vital. He didn't want to admit God, but he had a living principle in nature with the intelligence of God, evidently, and the power of God. This man gets into the same problem. He says that it is too wonderful and mysterious to know how this encoded tape, molecular tape, can control the whole life history of this individual and pass on from parent to offspring the same genetic code with added features by that own person's life. Now, not the acquired characteristics of Darwin, but the handling for all generations, passing on certain slant or bend within the species of the life history of that former organism. Now, coming to our proof of traducianism, remember traducianism, unlike this creationism or pantheistic theory, the first one, creationism, and the next one, that God creates the soul and spirit by an immediate, always get that difference between immediate and immediate. Immediate has the idea of with and interwoven with the union of the two cells in the creation of a new life. Immediate carries the idea of like Adam and Eve, created by the immediate agency of God, with no former connection at all in heredity. The whole Bible, from beginning to end, the whole doctrine of man is built upon the unity of the human race. It's one race. And we shall see in every doctrine, and in this one also, as we come to the fall of man in Adam and Eve, we became sinners in Adam by direct connection. Now, in hamartiology, we'll see that man's a sinner four ways, and one of them is by imputation and by judicial decree of God, but also genetically, by heredity. I was in Adam and died in him in the same way that Abraham or Melchizedek had tithes paid to him in Abraham, and so did all of Israel genetically, that Paul uses. Spirit, soul, and body. The whole man is passed on first by a natural conception in the not only literal molecular construction, but in this mysterious DNA tape is all of our ancestors, all of them way back to Adam and Eve. They all dwell within every cell in my body. Yet there is some mysterious, inexplicable transmission of soul and spirit that is above the physical. Here's why the traduction theory has come in. We are not just the sum total of ourselves, the physical part. There is a spiritual part to us, a soul and spirit, immaterial. It can't be just in the encoded tape. Here's why the tradition theory has been invented. At the union of the two cells at conception. And I'll show you that it isn't conception. God immediately creates a new personality of soul and spirit, the immaterial part. Look at several things concerning traditionism. Number one, the traduction theory alone explains all the soulish characteristics inherited from Adam and Eve and from your father and mother. A lot of them are not just physical, the color of your hair. My dad was a short, bald-headed man. And my brother and I took after him and our hirsute qualifications. We were both bald also. My brother had blue eyes like his father. We both look considerably like him. I have some pictures of him, and whenever they take a picture of me, if I look in the mirror, I can't see any resemblance. But you take certain pictures of me, especially from the side and the back and my nose and a few things like that, and I look exactly like him. Now, these are physical. But I inherited my musical ability from my father, which is nil. Dad couldn't carry a tune in a hymn book. He dropped it. All the male members of the Bragg clan, we three brothers, took after Dad in our musical ability. Now, the girls were all singing. Mother had a beautiful voice. As I've often said, I have a beautiful voice inside. It just doesn't quite reach my vocal cords. When it comes out, something has happened to it. I sing sweetly in my soul, but not with my lips and with my vocal cords. I inherited from my father several soulish characteristics. A mechanical ability to work with my hands. Artistic ability. I never developed it, but I inherited from Dad. Several other things. There are a lot of ways of thinking of my father that I have. Now, the girls don't have it at all. My two sisters had no mechanical ability whatsoever, and no artistic ability. These are soulish. They're not physical. They're not molecular. Yes. There is a. That's why they use the word immediate contrast. I mean, immediate contrasted with immediate. Immediate carries the idea of co-creating separately, with no connection. There is still a connection. But you can develop cells from the human body without a soul. I was just reading the other night where with their genetic engineering today, they can take the cystic part of a cell, of an ovum of a frog, and remove the nucleus and take the DNA tape out of another outfit and put it in that, and it'll develop into a tadpole and then into a frog. Most of the time, they have a lot more failures than nature does. But there is, in an animal, I believe that it is 100% transmitted in the cell. But in the human, there is something else. But this is why scientists without the Bible deny it. Yes? Yes.
Right.
This is one of the great, of course, one of the great problems in all study of heredity is how much to attribute one to another. In Christian apologetics, we'll deal with intuitions as a proof of man's being created by God and of the existence of God. It's called the ontological argument. There are a great number of innate concepts or intuitions that do not have to be learned. And they're not physical. They're soulish. It seems as though, now just for an illustration, and we'll use it in apologetics more thoroughly, but a little baby, when it first learns to walk, doesn't have to learn that an object occupies space. It's it is an intuition. We shall see that time is an intuition, space is an intuition, but a baby will not try to walk through that chair. From the very first, it reaches toward it, knowing that it occupies space, to get a hold of it and pull itself up on it, and it'll go around it. The idea that all material occupies space is an intuition. From the earliest, they don't have to learn it. It's been proven in the smallest baby, in its first cognitions. But there is something in man that's transmitted in natural birth, but must have some divine superintendency in what is called mediate creation, different from an animal. It's the God-in-breathed spirit that makes him a man, separate from all of creation. This is an amazing thing, and of course, open to all kinds of questions. The church is fooled with it for 2,000 years as to trying to decide where the soul comes from. The evolutionists, of course, have easy time with it. You don't have one. So it doesn't have to be transmitted. And the behavior school and different other ones. But the soulish characteristics are passed on. All the intuitions, all the soulish faculties, even the spiritual ones, and there are a number of spiritual faculties that are not actually soulish. For instance, all the moral faculties. I don't believe they're in the soul. I believe they're in the spirit. Self-consciousness is a spiritual faculty, not a soulish faculty. This is what where Paul puts it. No man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him. It is the spirit in me that is self-conscious and self-determining. that makes me a human. An animal doesn't have it. An animal doesn't have self-consciousness. An animal can't think of itself. It responds only to stimuli with what Pavlov calls conditioned reflex, because that's all it is. In other words, they don't think about themselves in the future and worry about the past. They have no conscience over the past or an anticipation of the future. They live only in response to stimuli. It is true that the conditioned reflex has memory attached to it, so that it's conditioned by the past. Man is not like that at all. Man is a self-conscious, self-determining individual. And McCosh, in his psychology, puts it all in these two words. We shall see a little later. I still like the three elements of personality: intellect, sensibility, and volition, as making him a human being, not just self-consciousness and self-determination. So the story's characteristics are explained only by traducianism. Second, it explains the universality of sin. And yet Paul says all sin is apart from the body, in 1 Corinthians 10. It isn't your body that sins. It's only the instrument of your soul that sins. Your sin is not molecular. It's not cellular. It's not somatic or bodily. It's soulish. It's psychical. And spiritual. Without the traducian theory, why should every man be a sinner? Without exception. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. In Adam, all sinned, Paul says. And all died because of sin, yes? Only by traducianism, not by immediate creation. Remember, there's the difference. In other words, I do not know whether it is some power in the DNA tape that immediately transmits the soul or causes it to come into being, or rather it is some supernatural power of God. I don't believe it's the natural laws of nature. God has a hand in traducianism. But it's not the immediate creation out of nothing. That's right. In such a way that somewhere or other at conception, I'm going to be very plain on that in a minute, it's at conception itself that the soul is formed, not later on at quickening. Or when self-conscious life comes into that unborn embryo, and they have proven that the embryo, especially after quickening, even before quickening, there is even REM sleeping, shown by the eyes, rapid movement of the eyes. There are times when it is completely acquiescent, and they're asleep, evidently. And there are other times when it is very active, especially after quickening. They believe that it responds to the emotional stages of the mother, showing that it is a living organism and already has a soul. I'm going to prove this, or I'll talk about it in a minute, why abortion is a murder. Not just removing of a living tumor, but rather murder. Third, the Bible connects guilt and the sin of the parents with the children. A great number of texts. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was shapen in iniquity. In other words, the infant is already a sinner, unborn. Of course, later on in soteriology, we'll show that guilt is not attached to the individual. But the hereditary sin is there, passed on from parent to child. Of course, this is against Catholic Pelagian theory of moral blank, child is not born a moral blank. Born a sinner. If you don't believe it, you don't give it its way. Even in the youngest baby, and it'll soon show temper tantrums. All kinds of sinful tendencies. I used to tell Pauline it took after its mother. Naturally, it didn't take after its sweet father. But believe me, it took after both of us. Number four, Paul connects Levi to Abraham. Levi paid tithes in Abraham when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek in Hebrews 7:10. He said, while being yet in the loins of his father, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. I don't know how in the world you can have that without the tradition theory. Number five, Paul says in Ephesians 2, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. All right, by nature is by natural birth. Children of wrath, all of us, no exception. That shows its sinful nature is passed on. And then six, tradition theory alone explains the whole Bible doctrine of original sin. Total depravity. It's why I can't understand Charles Hodges holding to the creation theory. And yet, he was a hidebound four-point Calvinist Presbyterian. That's seen in all of his systematic theology. And therefore believed in that good old Calvin doctrine of total depravity. I do too. It's one of the points of 5 points of Calvin I do believe. Total depravity. Man is born a sinner. Period. Children of wrath. Paul said, even as the rest. And then, of course, number seven, it's that text we've used before. When you compare Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image, and then verse 26, after his own likeness in Genesis, with 5:1. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, and it says Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his own image. Same identical expression. That's traditionism. It's more than passing on a body. It's passing on a soul and spirit. It's more than cellular life. Yes? Could be, I could think of, in fact, I have to part paths with most tradition writers that I read after in some aspects. I might use it a little later on in dealing with the image of God in man. An article I read in years ago, and I reread it the other night in Bible Science Newsletter by a doctor on this same subject, but it was also on that idea of he makes it all cellular, all molecular, all DNA tape, all physical. Well, when you get the creation of man, you've got to get some difference in there. God made the physical life, cellular life, but he breathed into him the spirit. And the Bible speaks about going back to the God that gave the spirit. And it's the spirit that makes him a human, not the soul. No man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him. You almost have to have some kind of mediate. That's why most thinkers on this subject have had to come around to the fact that it's more than physical, as this article tries to prove. It was originally by Constance. Wonderful thinker, but I must disagree with him. And then I think it was Duane Gish that followed him in this article. And all the way through, I said it can't be. It just can't be. The spirit of man has to be some way or other created by God in a mediate form, connecting him with the parents, but still with that division. Now, there is one consideration before we leave the tradition theory. The tradition theory, to my mind, is what makes abortion murder. It also makes life not starting at 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 9 months at parturition. Okay, I should say at birth. It starts at conception. Let me illustrate, and I'd give this in prophecy class also. What are the signs of the last days before the coming of our Lord? It will be a repetition of the days of Noah. Jesus said in Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And in 18:8, when the Son of Man cometh. Or in Matthew 24:39, where the same text is given, ignorance will have it connected with in the days before the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, if you look back and see what happened in the days of Noah and how the earth was before God flooded the whole crowd, you can see why God's going to destroy the whole thing with fire next time. And renovate it, as Peter shows, both at the beginning of the millennium and at the end of it. It's going to be a great change, topographical change upon the earth. We'll give it in prophecy class. In the days of Noah, there are a number of signs. I only want to take one. One was an ignorance of his coming. All things continue as they were from the fathers. No change. Eating and drinking. And then there was another one, marrying and giving in marriage. And, well, I didn't think so. I knew not till the day that Noah entered in the ark. Ignorance was coming. Then this multi-marriage, marrying and giving in marriage, and when you go back and read it in Genesis, you will find that when daughters were born unto the sons of men, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, this is not the angels. This is the godly line. Saw that the daughters of men were very fair, and they took them wives of as many as they desired. Multi-marriage. We have legalized the whole thing by giving easy divorces. Even the Catholic Church does this by annulment. But just marrying over and over again. Then complete preoccupation with evil. Evil imagination of the heart. Men only did evil, period. Now, there is one that I have in mind for this one. It's in relationship with violence covering the earth. And murder. Remember, the first man born of a woman was a murderer. Cain. And the seventh from Adam on the ungodly line, Lamech, was not only a braggart and a multi-married man. And he was a murderer. And it would indicate that he murdered quite a few folks. I know it's kind of lost, but the indication's there. We read in 433, Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Now, the Hebrew would indicate that this young man came to help the other one, so he killed him too. Then, of course, he went on, if Cain was to be revenged, I should be revenged quite a bit more. And remember, the mouth is the biggest part of the sinner, as he likes to brag on his accomplishments. But murder. Evidently, life was very cheap. Just before the flood. What about today? Now, there are other prophecies in the New Testament about this cheapness of life. Besides, on TV every night, we have murder trial this, murder trial that, murder trial this, multiple murders here, there, and everywhere. But the greatest sign is abortion. Did you know that I was looking it up in the Reader's Digest Almanac for 82 on American deaths in wars? And in all of our wars, as far as listed deaths are concerned, we've had 655,895 killed. 655,895 killed in all of our foreign wars. That's in the World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Civil War, Spanish-American War. Every organized war, that's not the gang wars, that's not Al Capone. But every year, we have 1.5 million legalized abortions in the United States now. Now, these are the reported ones. I believe they'll pass the 2 million mark. Now, that's 1.5 million is 3 times as many as lost in all foreign wars. In 1 year, reported legal abortion, legal murders. How many illegal ones? How many go to a foreign place to get an abortion? How many are induced, self-induced miscarriages? I don't think 2 million is a out of line at all. What if it came out in the paper tomorrow morning that doctors, nurses, people all over this country took out 1.5 million young babies and children and strangled them, knocked them on the head, poisoned them, killed them, murdered 1.5 million babies. We'd have the greatest uprising in this country you've ever seen. Everybody horrified. But an unborn baby, it's just a tumor, a wind. Abort it. Get rid of it. It's unwanted. We've got too many kids anyhow. Destroy it. What does God think? Did you know, biologically, as well as bibliologically, It is murder.
Biology recognizes it. I want to quote from several that I could give. There's been this foolish debate as to when is it a viable human being. Remember, biologically, all the doctors seemingly only want the safety of the mother so that you're not to abort it after a certain period of time because the danger to the mother. I think 6 weeks or 7 weeks, something like that. But that's not when it starts being a human being. I want to quote from an evolutionist. By the way, I have read after several secular evolutionists who say that there are all the definite signs of independent life in the third week of the embryo. Third week. In a book by a German, Dr. Erich Bleckschmidt, in his book, From Egg to Embryo, he was the leading embryologist of Germany, teaching at the University of Göttingen. And I quote from him. I want you to get this. Now that geneticists have learned more about submaterial, they recognize that an individual was always an individual, even in his submaterial or germ plasma, while development still was unindividualized cells in their various patterns. Before it subdivided into different members, when it was just a germ plasma. I think when the 32nd division is made, if I remember rightly. He continues, it cannot be claimed that at a given stage of development, the material becomes a human, or a frog, or a fish, or a chicken. As far back as studying of embryos occurs, the cell or the coding has always been differentiated. Man has not become a human being, but has been a human being in every stage of development, beginning with the submolecular level. That is, from conception. He's a human being. I've got many I've cut out of this. Remember, I used to say that at quickening it became a human being. After that, it wasn't. But, I mean, before that, it wasn't. No. It won't work. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. I want to read Rotherham's translation, since it saves me quoting from so many other translations in order to get it. Rotherham seems to have it all together in this text. It's wonderful. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. It'd be a good idea to follow me if you'll turn to it. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. It's a tremendous portion of Scripture. I use it in apologetics also for one particular part of the lesson. Psalms 139, beginning the 13th verse, and I'm reading from Rotherham's. For thou hast possessed my reins, the Hebrew claimed as his own peculiar work, all the controlling of the life. Thou hast possessed my reins, thou didst weave me together in the womb of my mother. This has the idea of that skillful weaving of the skin and the flesh upon the bones. I thank thee in that fearfully was my being distinguished. That is the parts. Each chromatic DNA tape was to develop in the distinguishing members of the body as the fetus develops. Wonderful are thy works. And mine own soul is observing them intently. My substance, that is, as the margin of Rotherham gives it, my frame or my bones, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret when I was skillfully figured. Here's the making of the distinguishing features that no geneticist on the face of the earth could tell you how that little single, that little single cell of the combination of the ovum and the spermatozoa can have within it the encoding for everything in that future life, as well as the replication of that life. This is amazing. No, they can't tell you how it works. Why is it that that little tape that under the microscope of 300,000 power shows no difference whatsoever? No distinguishing. Yet in that coding, microscopically, there is written by God Almighty in His book all the parts to be developed into the mature individual. Whether it be an animal, a bird, a fish, or a man, it's all in that embryo, that after its kind. And it's why, suddenly, the little embryo doesn't start turning into a fish, or start growing feathers, or a long tail, or a beak. Now, there are all kinds of damaging things that happen to the embryo. It would be amazing if they were not true. When you think of the stuff people put in their bodies, the smoking, drinking, dope, all the outrageous things that people do, even so many of the contraceptives are so dangerous to the developing fetus. But even before they were figured, the rest of it here is all written in God's book, all encoded. This is the greatest science on the face of the earth in this verse on embryology. What this geneticist that I just read after said, no man on earth knows how that little cell differentiates into the various organs and substances of the body, to where it develops cells that will, some will make skin, some will make hair, some will make bones, some will make eyes, some will make various organs, and knows exactly how long to work, and then has an automatic built-in stopper. It's a wonderful thing that when you've got the genetic embryo is developing the two legs, that one of them doesn't grow to be 50 feet long. It's a wonderful thing that it stops at a certain place. Now, you have giantism, you have all kinds of monstrosities where something goes wrong because of sin with the genetic tape, and it doesn't stop. But how wonderful it stops in so many cases, almost every one. Let me continue reading. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, when I was skillfully figured in the lower parts of the earth. This Hebrewism for a dark place, as in 88:6. And in thy book, I want you to notice this, all the parts were written. And the days that they should be fashioned. That's tremendous. And the days that they should be fashioned. From the first child born, Abel. Or Cain, I guess, is the first. Right on down until the last one that should be born. What a fixness after his kind for 6,000 years. Now, in just the summation at the end of this fiducian theory, the whole doctrine of man in our anthropology class, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, is a unit, one kind, because of God fixing it in the encoding. Hence, as in one man, all sinned. So in one man, all could be made alive. This is why God made of one blood all men for to dwell upon the face of the earth. There is one more text I wanted to give you. It's in Exodus 21:22. For abortion being murder. It is the law of a man striking a woman with child, and she loses it. He shall be punished. We read, if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. That is, if the mother dies, he should be killed. If the baby dies, the one who does the mischief should die. God counts the unborn fetus a living human being under the protection of God Almighty's law, thou shalt not kill. So is it a human being? A viable human being? There are other texts we could use, but we won't do it. Our time is up. We will start our next lesson on the bottom of page 11, the eternality of the human soul. You're dismissed.